Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. We're back. We have been away for a couple of weeks, but we are back and ready to go. I'm your host, Luke Sicari, and on the line, as always, is Damian Arsenis from the pickandroll.com.au. And Damo, we come to you today in an absolutely massive time period for Australian basketball at the international stage. There is so much going on in the green and gold uniforms at the moment.
There certainly is, and it's just been an abundance of Aussie national teams in participation, being named, and of course, now that we qualified for World Cups through FIBA Asia, this is just going to continue. We're going to hear and see a lot more of not just the Boomers and Opals, but all of our junior teams as well.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned there is a lot of playing and team selection news and stuff like that, but there's also a lot of winning. And that's where we're going to start. That's the most important thing, isn't it? And that's where we're going to start in the FIBA Oceania, is the under-17s. A double gold for Australia. The Crocs in the men's, the Sapphires in the women's, and these two teams just dominated. They dominated the entire tournament, and it was a win that really just highlights and underlines the strength coming through the junior ranks of Australian basketball at the moment. I mean, there was really no competition.
It was quite devastating, really, for the rest of the region with the Australians involved. The Crocs, through their five games, they went through undefeated. They averaged 142.6 points a game.
And the average, the winning margin.
27 steals.
The winning margin.
The average winning margin of 104 points.
That's
104.2 points a game. They beat New Zealand for the gold medal, which we would have expected, but 93-55. That's a pounding in anyone's language. Yeah. And that team was rightfully led by the Samson Froling, and of course the younger brother of Harry Froling, and of course the Froling twins as well, the sisters. He was awarded MVP for the final. He had a big double-double of 22 points and 13 rebounds in that game. He was named to the All-Star 5 for the tournament, along with Sean McDonald and Cody Statman, who were both outstanding. Yeah. But it didn't end there. The Sapphires, of course, have a great history, winning gold in 2015. This is a new, 2016 last year, and this is a new group coming through. They average 135 points a game, 25.6 steals a game, an average winning margin of, wait for it, 112 points
bang
a game.
That is incredible.
Their closest game for the tournament was in the final against New Zealand.
And how close was that?
81-60.
I guess. It's still a blowout, but it's...
New Zealand gave them a bit of a fright for early on, but that they came away. And Shyla Heal, now, of course, you know the name Heal.
This is
the daughter of Shane Heal, who unfortunately has been in the news for all the wrong reasons recently. But Shyla Heal, named MVP of the Trans-Tasman Clash. She had 13 points, 9 rebounds and 4 assists in the final. She made the All-Star 5 in the tournament, along with Mila Goodchild and Isabel Bourne. So great to see the youth coming through there for the Australian national teams moving forward.
Absolutely. It was just, and of course, the full detailed reports of both those teams on pickandroll.com.au as well. So that was under-17s. Moving up a gear to the under-19s and the Gems. Currently playing
the World Cup too.
Yeah,
we're not talking FIBA Asia here. This is the World Cup.
This is the big, the best of the best. Under-19 World Cup. You know, I've had Sam Simmons is playing well. Chloe Bibby is playing pretty well as well. Damo, talk us through it. How are the Opals going? Is it the same magnitude of success as the Sapphires had in their outings, or is it a bit tighter in the World Cup for the Gems?
It's definitely a bit tighter. So the majority of the Sapphires that won last year in this team, so it is a younger-looking team at the under-19 level, if you look at it that way. Ezzie McBeager has just been outstanding so far. She's certainly a candidate for being one of the best players in the tournament. In their opening game, though, they got off on the back foot. They lost to Japan 61-68. And while Ezzie McBeager was outstanding, 21 points, I think she only had 11 shots for the game to show you how efficient she was. Really, they needed to use their size and strength a lot better than what they did in that contest. Our guards certainly didn't step up. The quicker and fleet-footed Japanese got the better of them. And in the end, it was Japan that got the win by 5 points. But the good thing is for the Gems, they did bounce back, and they bounced back in a big way against Mexico. They thrashed Mexico by 70 points. Sam Simons, as you mentioned earlier, 17 points. Mississippi State-bound Chloe Bibby, 16 points and 6 rebounds as well. So a good bounce back, but they've got a must-win game now against Hungary, which is later tonight. Of course, we're recording this on Tuesday, so late tonight, 10 o'clock tonight. You can catch it live on FIBA's YouTube channel against Hungary. Hungary did lose to Japan, so this is a must-win game for the Gems.
Big stakes for the Gems, there's no doubt about it. The Opals are going through an unbeaten FIBA Asian Cup at the moment. I mean, we've had the Oceanias, we've had the World Cup, now we're in the Asian Cup for the Opals. And they're flying as well. We know how good they are. Their talent is through the roof. They had that disappointing Olympic campaign last year, but they're really bouncing back at the moment because their Asia Cup campaign so far has been it's been pretty impressive, let's be honest.
Oh, it's been more than impressive. They've been outstanding. Yep. But first of all, before we go into the results so far,
yes.
this tournament takes on greater importance for the likes of the Opals and the rest of the teams in this competition because the top four teams qualify for next year's World Cup.
Yeah.
So the Opals need to finish in the top four to qualify for the World Cup. And on current form, they're looking very, very good. So they opened the tournament with a 78-54 defeat of Korea. And for me, and looking at this game, we're missing all our WNBA players. Mm. There's been some players unavailable due to injury. So we're seeing sort of the next-gen players coming through. And for me, Alana Smith, her debut was nothing short of sensational. Of course, she starred for Stanford in the NCAA tournament last year as a freshman. She stepped up 13 points, 4 or 5 shooting, 7 rebounds in her debut in an Opals major championship. So outstanding. Kelsey Griffin, again, she was making her debut. And, of course, she's been starring in the WNBL with Bendigo Spirit.
Yeah.
She had 15 points and 5 rebounds in the big win. And, players like Lauren Mansfield, she was outstanding as well, and her debut was an Opal. So really good things happened against Korea, and then, of course, they stepped it up a notch against the Philippines. First half against the Philippines, the Opals simply crushed them. Not only were they taller, stronger, they were just more skilled and more balanced. And it was I'll call them now, the Blitzarv sisters.
Yeah, they're on fire.
Steph Cumming is now a Blitzarv after marrying Chris. And it was those two that powered the offense. Sarah added 17 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists and 4 steals in a huge all-round performance. Steph pulled in an equal game-high 18 points with 3 assists. Australia boasted 6 players in double figures just to show you how dominant they were. And really, the Philippines were no match. They certainly made some baskets late in the game, but the contest was well and truly over. The lead ballooned to as many as, I think it was 57 points.
Yeah.
So, big win. Japan's up next this afternoon and at 5:45 today. And, of course, that's a rematch from Rio, and Australia came back from a 14-point last quarter deficit to steal the win against Japan in Rio. So Japan will be out for revenge. And of course, this is a new looking Opals team. But the good news for the Opals is they're firing on all cylinders so far.
Absolutely right. And like you mentioned off the top of that discussion there, the magnitude of the Asia Cup, it cannot be understated. That's the Opals. Now, the Boomers squad for the same tournament, for the men's side of that tournament, just got named yesterday, I believe it was. I'll quickly give you the names and I'll get your thoughts on the squad demo. So Angus Brandt, Brad Newley, Cam Glidden, Dan Kickett, David Anderson, Jason Kadee, Mitch Creek, Mitch McCarron, Mitch Norton, a lot of Mitches, Matty Hodson, Nick Kay, and Toddy Blansfield. So probably Anderson and Newley are the two names that stand out in that squad. They begin their campaign August 8 against Japan at 11 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, of course. Well, what do you think? This squad, it's a fairly different Boomers team than what we have seen in the past. It's all NBL guys, NBL talent everywhere. Well, what do you reckon? Yep. How are the chances for the Boomers in this tournament?
Well, first and foremost, you touched on it, it's NBL talent. So the NBA guys weren't available for selection. The European stars like your Ryan Brokos weren't available for selection. And as you've noted, there's no college basketball stars in there either. So none of those guys are there. Now, my understanding is they weren't available for selection. So.
Right.
So we're focused on the NBL, very much a flavour there. But the big takeout for me, David Anderson's back, and we're talking the veteran Anderson, who's really become sort of like the knight in shining armour for the Boomers. He's been there the whole time. And even though he's played the NBL, he goes back to Europe, and he at the end of the NBL season, he's come back. He still puts his hand up for the Boomers. And, of course, he had a brilliant Rio showing. He really did. So it's great to see him there. It's great to have that veteran leadership in the team. And, of course, with Brad Newley returning, and he was one of the last men cut from Rio. But the big thing for me is no Chris Goulding. He was in Rio. No Kevin Lish. He was in Rio. And, of course, they were part of the 20-man squad that was selected for the training camp in the Gold Coast the other week.
I wonder how much Golding's ankle is still bothering him.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. I'm sure it is. Yeah. And there's no Nathan Sobey, of course.
Right.
Everyone was expecting him to be named.
Yeah.
He was in NBA Summer League.
Yeah.
But my understanding is all three were either carrying injuries still or recovering from them. So,
precautionary reasons.
Lemanis has gone for a fit and firing team now because we're only less than 2 weeks out from the tournament.
August 8th it begins.
Yep, and my understanding is the team's staying in camp together all this week before they head to Beirut on the 2nd of August. And then you have a couple of warm-up games in that week, and then they hit the tournament the week after. So he's going with his fit and firing, ready to go right now. And, of course, we're seeing some new names, Next Gen, and with the new qualification through FIBA Asia, we're going to see a lot more of this.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, considering the circumstances of the tournament and how important it really is in the grand scheme of things, you can definitely understand the logic behind going for a squad that is 100% healthy. Yes, those other guys are maybe a bit more talented than some of the lower guys named in the squad, but you have to consider if they're 100% versus 65% versus 40%. Considering how big the tournament is, you have to put your best and healthiest and fittest team on the park, and that's exactly what they have done for the upcoming Asia Cup. Now, before we finish off, Damo, I know you wanted
there's to... There's more coming.
There's more coming. World Uni Games. Tell us about it.
Well, that's coming up as well within the next month. So we talk about the college players not being available and all this. There may be a reason for that because we've got the World University Games coming up. And, of course, Andre Lemanis, over his tenure as Boomers coach, has used that as a launching pad to the Boomers program. So I think we've already had the men's squad's name. We haven't had the women's squad name yet. So I think some of those guys that we're seeing are going to be coming through that pathway, again, if they were available to be selected. And that's the key here. So a lot more Australian basketball coming up. And, of course, we've got the rest of the Asian Cup tournament for the women. We've got the Asian Cup tournament for the men coming up. World Uni Games. We've got the Gens in action, the World Cup. Hopefully they can get that win and make it through. And we've still got a really good chance of another World Cup medal.
Absolutely. It's so much happening in Aussie basketball. There's so much to keep track of. And, of course, you're home for all of it, where you've got all the match reports and all the analysis of all the Australian basketball teams.
And the schedules.
Yeah, and the all-important schedules, especially with these international time zones. To actually have the times in Australian times is very helpful. You don't have to go on your world clock websites and try to configure your time clock to where the Australian teams are playing. All of that.
We've done all the work for you.
We have pickandroll.com.au, pickandroll.au, or not our social media channels, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're all over it at the Pick and Roll. Damo, thank you for joining me again on another edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. We'll catch you next time.
You certainly will.